You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hello, this is Bradley Martin coming at you live from the Screener Squad on a pre-recording. Does that make sense? No. Shudder is one of my favorite streaming services, and one of my favorite things about it is the original content it gets. You know, me and the cousins, Austin, rest in peace, love you, we would go out and rent stacks of what we assumed would be great original horror content. You remember, they just came straight to DVD. Not the Dolph Lundgren action ones, but the ones a shelf over. And we would, you know, binge them all night and rate them. And it was just a grand old time. So I'll always jump on a Shudder original piece. This one, titled, You'll Never Find Me. We have Patrick, played by Brendan Rock. It's kind of looks like a solitude, lonely guy living out in the middle of nowhere, just minding his own business, doing something. It seems a little peculiar. And suddenly someone knocks on his door. He's not expecting anyone. He doesn't want to answer the door. He seems kind of a little panicked about it, but he starts to hear a voice from this visitor. Let me in. Come on. You got to do it. It's raining. I seem to be lost. Why don't you just come on and let me in? So, seems like kind of a sympathetic guy. He goes downstairs, opens the door, and in comes the visitor, played by Jordan Cohen. And what results is the film, and a mystery that I wouldn't say that you have to solve to enjoy, but it certainly is a lot of breadcrumbs that may lead to certain thoughts, certain feelings, certain accusations of what's really going on in this strange, secluded house, who this visitor is, and whether or not these two know each other, ? It is a bottle movie with very few actors between Brendan Rock and Jordan Cohen. With me to talk about it, LaWayne is with us.
Hey, how's it going?
And always glad to have him back, especially for a horror movie. Drew is with us.
Of course, yeah, I'm here, and I'm ready for a knock at the door right now, and I'm a little scared.
Some people say there are two types in the world. Those who shudder when there's a knock at the door, and those who say, ooh, visitors.
Those who are like, oh my God, Chick-fil-A.
So right away, I was paranoid, like, what's going on? Who is this visitor? Mm-hmm. What sort of hijinks are about to ensue? And very bizarre, drugged out imagery. I always watch films sober, but LaWayne and Drew, not meaning to accuse anybody of anything. I don't know why it came out that way. How did you enjoy this film?
I'll be honest. The first thing I thought by about the second act was something that Matt Foster, one of the other reviewers, has said on several occasions, which is, I wish that there were better venues for shorter, long fiction. Something that would be like an anthology segment or an episode of something. Because while I appreciate a slow burn and the sort of verbal cat and mouse that's going on, it takes a really long time for much to happen. I don't know if I'm just impatient or what the deal is, but like, I get what you're doing, movie. Thank you for the clues. Can we get further along, maybe?
Saying this would maybe work as a 30-minute episode of The Twilight Zone with Rod Serling narrating the point at the end, maybe.
Yeah, even an hour of, not literally Black Mirror, but yeah, something like that, right? Like, you know, an anthology series. I think as a feature, it just feels like it goes a little longer than it needs to. And I know it's supposed to be about the journey, not like the destination, but one of those has to work for me. So,
well, the whole thing is like there's a stranger at the door and then there's a stranger in the house and they kind of end up coming together. There's a huge rainstorm that happens. You know, Patrick's life, you know, is kind of invaded. He's obviously trying to, you know, stay away from any kind of like human contact whatsoever. And so, you know, the visitor comes and Jordan Cohen, who was also in, I think, one of the Wolf Creek movies. And this has a similar vibe in a way at first. It just kind of like everything seems okay. And then it's not, and you're kind of wondering like who is hiding secrets, who's lying, or if it's all in, you know, the characters' heads. I think what really keeps it interesting is how well directed it is. It's like really, really well done. All the sound design, everything, and the filmmaking is like really keeps you on your toes. But it does, maybe drags on a little bit. But I love the relationship between the two of them, and just seeing where it was going to go for the first, you know, first reel, second reel, and then it kind of devolves a little bit. It's still a really fun watch, but by the time that it really comes around to the ending, you're like, okay, let's get to it.
As if the situation is such that they can't leave immediately, so that's why they're stuck together for a while. Storm, car doesn't work, blah 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 blah. He doesn't have a phone, all the various things they need to do to set that up. So at one point he's like, "Hey, I found a pack of cards, but I only know how to play one game. It's called Bullshit, which is a bluffing game." And I'm like, "Well, that's subtle," because they spend the whole time talking back and forth, trying to catch each other in lies, and so it was just sort of a weird little thing to throw in there. Because there, you have certain expectations when you have the lone girl who shows up at the creepy dude's house, right? Like, you know how a lot of these movies are going to go, you think. And this kind of plays with that because there's a lot of the expectations like, uh-oh, is he going to be dangerous? And then she'll do something or he'll catch her in a lie and it'll be like, oh, is she dangerous? All right, let's see what's going to happen here, which is, I think, maybe not novel, but certainly rare, and makes for an interesting sort of plot design that does keep you going a little longer.
Yeah, and everything about the house that they're staying in seems unfamiliar. But, you know, I've been to a lot of houses, and it's such a hard feeling to capture a place where you don't belong or you don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And I really like the claustrophobia of this particular set. As well as like what? It's so dingy in here. It's not bright. It doesn't. Mm-hmm. It seems like you live here, obviously. But do you take care of your house? But it's not like a, you know, like a hoarder's place or anything. It just seems. It doesn't seem safe for either of them.
Everything about it feels off. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, yeah, it's a trailer, and obviously it looks old. Like what you see inside, it's particularly because of the production design, everything seems aged. I mean, it even looks like he's got a VCR. But it's also helped a lot by whoever handled the sound design, because that storm sounds insane. Yeah. Like, you know, it's supposed to be a thunderstorm, but it doesn't sound quite right. Like, the lightning cracks sometimes sound more like ice breaking than they do like thunder and lightning. It's weird, and there's the strange groaning noises that the house makes, like that sound almost more like it belongs on a ship in a storm than just this trailer.
Yeah, that's definitely true, where it's like I think the story is simple, but the way the sound design is, and you hear the storm, and the reason like why she's not leaving or he's not letting her out becomes like really justifiable, because it sounds like it's a really insane, you know, mm-hmm. you know, that not be, you know, a once in a century storm, but it kind of sounds like that. And it's also nice. It's nice that they're both kind of playing detective with each other. There's a lot of like really good, like quick close-ups and stuff, just looking at, you know, some of the clues supposedly, and just, you know, one character will say something and then it'll immediately go to, you know, something about their person or something that they said that immediately contradicts that. So you're kind of wondering which side to be on, which keeps it interesting. You know, it's, and so that was cool. Like they have a really good dynamic together, like both actors.
Yeah. Their performances are crazy. Well, I mean, like really good considering the two of them have to carry the movie, and they spend a lot of time making Patrick just look creepier and gross. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and just worse the further along the movie gets. Like initially you're like, oh, it's just a lonely dude, but as it gets further along you're like, I don't know that that's all there is with this guy.
Yeah, is there a reason for this loneliness? What's the reason then?
Well, and you're talking about, like, you know, it's a difference, you know, the kind of depends sometimes what door you're knocking on, right? I mean, if it's a really nice house in a nice neighborhood or something, maybe that's a little, you invite that person in a little bit more, and it doesn't seem as, you know, nefarious or like that something's afoot. But, you know, when it's a trailer park in the middle of nowhere, like this guy is obviously, you know, trying to stay out of, you know, he wants to be alone, and they're kind of both seem to be hiding from something, and they have this connection together. So I think the fact that it's a mobile home in the middle of nowhere makes them both suspicious at once.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and his is very clearly at the back of the park. Like she had to pass by literally every other place there to get to his house. And that alone feels weird because we know there are other people. You see lights sometimes when they look out, and there are points where you hear people. But somehow she ends up at his, which feels like that's a deliberate choice. And now I want to know what's going on.
Well, I think that's the main problem with the movie is that there's nothing that really gets there aren't like too many clues that keep coming up, right? It's like, mm-hmm. you know, there's not the plot doesn't really thicken.
No.
Well, the clues too, a lot of them, at least visually, can be explained by paranoia or mm-hmm. someone's on drugs or mm-hmm. a ghost, perhaps.
Right. Then it becomes the variation of the thing that I complain about sometimes, the crazier creature, mm-hmm. right? Like, is it something supernatural, or is this a lonely dude who's maybe just had a few, or is she something wrong with her? Like, because it plays back and forth as to who you're supposed to pay attention to or who you're supposed to ally yourself with. Because sometimes it's like, oh, young girl, please be careful. This guy, there's some red flags. But after a while, you're like, dude, she's being awful dishonest and really mm-hmm. secretive. Is that just defensive or is she dangerous? Like, what? And which is interesting, again, for a while.
I feel like I don't hate the writing. There are certain things you said that make Patrick rather creepy. And mm-hmm. some of them are a little bit too on the nose. Like he's like, give me your shirt. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, that's absolutely the wrong thing to say to anyone ever.
Take a shower.
Yeah, under context.
Yeah.
No, I mean, take a shower. Yeah, and it's like, well, that follow-up explanation is also creepy.
Yeah.
Me, I mean, it would be like, know, there are ways to... what were you doing out in the cold? Honey, let's get her a spare outfit. I'll put it in the bathroom.
Yeah.
You take a shower. You're going to get hypothermia. We'll set a bed for you. The kettle's on. See, I'm already being way too... this isn't a movie anymore. This is a boring Good Samaritan right. tale. So, yeah.
Right. But I mean, like, realistically, though, like, there are ways to say, hey, look, I realize that it's freezing cold. You're soaking wet.
Yeah.
Here are some clothes. Shower's over here. I'm going to stay out here and yeah. make something to eat or whatever. Like, there are ways to disarm this stuff.
Like, yeah, yeah. And, you'll catch your death if you don't warm up. Just something. And even, like, the word yeah. death, like, well, that's kind of creepy. But he literally, at least in that moment, was like, so is he bad? But again, it remains a mystery until the end. So that's not a spoiler, per se.
Well, I guess that's the question. Do you think it's worth kind of, you know, staying you know, with it until the end?
I would say so. It's an hour and a half, and it's not hard to stay with, at least for me, because I enjoyed the setting so much.
Yeah, I think mostly what keeps me going is, all right, what the hell is actually going on?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if nothing else, whether the ending answers that for you, that's its own thing. But, like, that's how I got to the end. But I also went back and watched the last half hour of it again just to make sure that I hadn't missed something. Obviously, I don't want to get into stuff because it's the end of the movie and people should be able to watch this however. But, like, I had to go back and double check. Did I miss something?
I don't think you did. Yeah. I think you did miss anything.
It's not a question of did I miss something. It's did I want to miss something? So this was, yeah. But why don't you carry that into your final thoughts?
Okay. It looks good. It sounds good. The cast is really good. Like, all of the technical stuff, superb. The writing, that's going to kind of be up to the audience member. Some people are going to hate it because it's slow. And some people are going to love it because it's slow. I'm kind of in the middle on it, which is pretty much where I think I'll score it, which is going to be, I think, 3 out of 5 games of bullshit.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. I think the main thing with me is how I was trying to kind of really classified it as like an Australian film and just a kind of like being out in the outback. And, but it also has like, there's a certain French film that it reminds me of that was, has kind of a little bit of a twist. Nothing that incredible, but, I also don't like the title at all. I think that there's a, it's maybe an editorial, I guess, but you know, there's way too many films that have these titles that I can't remember ever, you know, like You'll Never Find Me. I don't know what that, I mean, that has nothing to do with the movie whatsoever, you know? And so there's all these titles over and over again, and they all just become the same movie after a while. And I mean, you could call this Wolf Creek 4 too. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of the same idea, and you know, it in a way, but yeah, I mean, the two of them is like, you know, if you want to throw all the buzzwords, like it's a chamber piece, it's a two-hander, or whatever, like it's like, you know, Brendan Rock and Jordan Cohen do like a really good job together. Like they have, I mean, I their dynamic is really good, and the creaks and the cracks and all that stuff, all the sound design really keeps it. I mean, I guess it was just like kind of co-directed by Josiah Allen and Indiana Bell. I think maybe, I don't know who kind of took the reins on that, but it's really well crafted, and that keeps you into it the entire movie. But it's and it should be, because it's a fairly simple idea, right? And then it just kind of goes a little off the rails and in a good way, I think, towards the end. So yeah, I mean, I think I would just kind of want this to just be Wolf Creek 4, I think. So I think there's 3 of them. I could be misremembering, but I think there's 3 Wolf Creeks so far. Yeah. But
it's Wolf Creek : Trailer Park.
Right. So I'll give it, seven out of 10, you're not going to remember the title of this movie.
For me, really, all that was missing was humor. I know that sounds absurd, but lately I've been watching a lot of my favorite horror movies that are age appropriate for my second daughter, who's really been getting into horror, and more horror movies with my older daughter, who's a teenager now, and that's kind of sad for me, but here we are. And my favorite ones, shockingly, they have a bit of humor in it. Like the most non-threatening guy ever, Bradley Whitford, talking about who he wishes he could elect a third time. Ha, 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 ha. He has one scene in that movie where it's like, oh, God, he's a monster. And it's a wordless performance at an auction. There's just something about a lack of, maybe I personally see so much humanity in humor, that when the monster doesn't really have a human face at all, other than it's a human being playing it, I just don't find it very scary. I did like both of them, though. And I really adored this set. I love bottle movies. The Fly is one of my favorite episodes of Breaking Bad. Kill me, I don't know. I just think they're neat. And one of my favorite sequences is one of our characters is trying to escape, and they're trying to escape out of a sunroof. And what I loved about that is it might just be a sunroof. I don't know how to get out of a sunroof. Do those open? How do you open them? And it really built the tension of, is there something wrong here, or is this just panic and paranoia? So I'm actually going to give this one 6.5 teacups that might have nice tea, or maybe not. I mean, they're both drinking it, out of 10.
Yeah, I mean, if you can have a mobile home with a, you know, with a skylight, I mean, you're winning.
Right?
That's great. It's definitely a perk.